In a unanimous decision, the Wisconsin Supreme Court sided with the state's attorney general in a dispute over the power to settle lawsuits. It's Wednesday, June 18th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, a Milwaukee teacher's aide has self-deported after losing the latest round in her bid to stay in the country. And officials in Green Bay are warning that a phishing scam is using public records to target people. Stay with us.
The WPR headphone-wearing badger is becoming famous. Now, he's available on a tote bag. It's sturdy canvas with a handy zipper that keeps your belongings secure. What would you put in your new WPR tote?
Snacks and toys for my toddler.
My wife's knitting supplies.
Everything I need to go to the pool.
Ask for your WPR badger tote when you give $12 a month or more at WPR.org.
The Wisconsin Supreme Court has sided with the state's Democratic Attorney General in a legal dispute that challenged the state's Republican-controlled legislature. As Sarah Lear reports, Tuesday's unanimous decision has to do with the power to settle civil lawsuits.
7 years ago, GOP legislators passed a series of laws designed to limit the power of Wisconsin's incoming governor and attorney general. That was shortly after Democrats were elected to those positions, replacing Republicans. One of those laws gave the legislature's budget committee the final say when deciding whether to approve lawsuits prosecuted by the attorney general. Democratic AG Josh Call challenged that law, arguing that it violated the state constitution. In its ruling, the state's high court agreed. Justices said the legislature should not have the final say over lawsuits when those lawsuits have to do with core executive powers. That includes suits brought on behalf of state agencies and those enforcing environmental and consumer protection laws. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A Milwaukee teacher's aide is self-deporting after losing the latest round in her bid to stay in the country. Yesenia Ruano boarded a plane to El Salvador yesterday, along with her U.S.-born twin daughters. According to advocates, Ruano crossed the southern border in 2011 to escape gang violence in her native country. Ruano was served with a deportation order earlier this year, but she filed a motion asking for more time. She argued that she should be allowed to stay in the country while awaiting a decision on her application for a visa, which is granted to victims of human trafficking. But Ruano's attorney, Mark Christopher, says Immigration and Customs Enforcement denied that request, saying her circumstances did not warrant a pause in deportation proceedings.
Quite frankly, if she doesn't warrant it, I don't know who does.
Christopher noted Ruano's lack of criminal record and said she contributed to the community as an educator in public schools. Wisconsin Representative Derek Van Orden is under fire for his recent comments about the assassination of a lawmaker and her husband in Minnesota over the weekend. Evan Casey has more on why Democrats attack statements that Van Orden made on social media.
Van Orden called Minnesota Governor Tim Walz stupid and a clown in social media posts. He also claimed, without evidence, that the alleged shooter did so because the politician was, quote, not far left enough. Jerry Blevins studies misinformation at the University of Cincinnati. He says lawmakers spreading misinformation often serves a political interest and furthers polarization.
It gives it a sense of legitimacy and credibility that it doesn't deserve. That, you know, these are, you know, not only are they representatives, but they're influencers as well. They have a large audience.
In a statement, Van Orden said the individuals who spew this hatred need to be called out. Evan Casey, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Wisconsin Republican U.S. Senator Ron Johnson wants to pump the brakes on pushing through President Donald Trump's Big Beautiful Bill by July 4th. Senate Republicans introduced their version of the budget bill, which has already been passed in the House. It includes deeper cuts to Medicaid to offset Trump's $4.5 trillion tax cuts. The changes include new work requirements for parents with kids over 14 years of age. Johnson told CNBC yesterday that something has to be done to reduce spending. Democratic U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin also opposes the bill.
The Senate Republicans' bill makes even deeper cuts to programs like Medicaid, will kick more hardworking parents, veterans, and kids off their health care, balloon the deficit, and take food away from hungry families.
Johnson said he's confident that a group of Republican senators will delay a vote on the bill until lawmakers take their month-long recess in August. Wisconsin Republicans have voted to add more than 40 prosecutor positions in about a third of the state's counties, but their budget would fund a much smaller increase in the staff of the Office of Public Defender. Republicans on the legislature's budget committee voted yesterday to add about a dozen administrative staff in the public defender's office. Madison Democratic Senator Kelda Royce said the state cannot fund one side of the criminal justice system without spending a similar amount on the other.
You can have prosecutors charging and charging and charging all day, but if you don't have defense attorneys, then people are going to languish in jail. These cases are going to continue to sit there and not get resolved.
Governor Tony Evers' budget would have added more than 50 administrative staff positions in the public defender's office. Officials in Green Bay are warning the public about a sophisticated scam that's happening in the city. As Nick Rommel reports, it uses public records.
Scammers are targeting people who are applying for permits or involved with city boards and committees in Green Bay. They're using public information like property addresses, application files, and records of public meetings to impersonate the city government. The emails urge targets to immediately wire thousands of dollars for fake permit fees. Michael Bergman is Green Bay's communications director.
The city will never, ever, ever ask for payment for anything by wire transfer, which is what this email was asking for. That is just something we do not do.
Bergman says no one has fallen for the scam in Green Bay. Officials in Monona warned of a similar phishing scheme there in early June. Nick Rommel, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, we've got a story from Wisconsin Life about an effort to create local, sustainable clothing. Stay with us.
Music with more.
Anyone can listen. Because the more I've listened over the years, the more I want to hear, the more I want to know. And if a farmer's daughter from Walworth County can do that, anyone can do that.
Join Lori Skelton for Afternoon Classics, weekday afternoons on WPR Music.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with a story about a Madison woman who's trying to revive flax and linen production in Wisconsin. The story comes just ahead of this weekend's Field to Frock event.
You may be familiar with flax seeds, adding them to baked goods or your breakfast, but there's a lot more to the plant. Flax grows about 3 feet tall and produces beautiful blue flowers. It's one of the oldest domesticated plants, with humans first using its fibers more than 30,000 years ago. And Leslie Schrader dreams of growing more of it in Wisconsin. That would make it possible to build a flax-to-linen industry in the state. Schrader envisions a market for sustainable, local clothing inspired by the farm-to-table movement. To jumpstart this effort, the Madison resident helped create the Midwest Linen Revival, which is organizing events to educate farmers and artisans on how to help the industry grow. It's also why her driveway was filled with a big bundle of long, dried flax stems and wooden machines to process the plant on a recent morning.
So if you are hand processing your flax, then you are starting out with the ripple, where you're going to just pull the flax through there and get the seed off of it.
The seeds fall to the ground as she pulls the flax stems through a big comb. Schrader moves on to the next machine, called the break, which looks like a big wooden paper cutter. Each whack breaks the fiber from the shive, which looks like straw. After that,
This next step is called scutching, and my hand's kind of behind this board just to keep my hand safe. And hitting it with a paddle, it's more like a fan blade across it. I'm just getting another bit of that shive off.
I'm gonna be real. I had no idea that linen came from flax until we talked.
Yeah, most people don't.
People eat flax seeds for omega-3s and fiber. Its linseed oil is used as a wood finish. Flax can also be used to make paper, insulation, or a surfboard.
Every part of this plant is useful, which is why the scientific name of this plant is called Linum usatatissimum, which means the plant most useful.
European immigrants first brought flax to Wisconsin, which has an ideal climate for growing the crop. And that's why Schrader believes her flax-to-linen dream could become a reality in the region. She's been testing flax varieties on farms around southern Wisconsin. She's hoping to increase understanding of the plant and convince more farmers to grow flax for linen with the help of UW's Emerging Crop Program and the Wisconsin Farmers Union.
So what I say to people is absolutely get some flax seed, put it in the ground, get to know the plant a little bit, but we're not ready to scale up to something at an agricultural level yet.
That's because Wisconsin and the region needs a large-scale processing facility to spin the fibers and create linen.
So right now, we're just at this level. Like I said, it's very beautiful, artisanal, hand-scaled. What we need is that processing facility that can be something like a quarter of an acre could handle. Because right now, if you grow that much, it's going to be this hand-processing project extremely labor-intensive.
That would take time and significant investments from the public and private sectors. But this dream of Schrader's, it's not unprecedented. Wisconsin had these facilities during the Civil War era, when the North was trying to reduce its dependence on Southern cotton. The government encouraged farmers in places like Wisconsin to grow flax for linen. At one point, there were two linen mills in the state, but they closed by the early 1900s. Schrader walks me through the final step of hand processing flax, called hackling. She drags the fibers through a bed of nails. The bundle now looks like a blonde or flaxen-haired ponytail.
The fiber itself is just getting a little bit softened in this process too.
Schrader's dream to bring back flax and linen production isn't solely based on aesthetics and artistry. She'd like to see a local clothing, slow fashion movement to help create a more sustainable future.
We can't talk at all about clothing without talking about what massive problems we have with our current textile industry, energy consumptive and resource consumptive, not just from the processing, but all the way through to the end. So when we've got so many synthetic garments, the wearing of them is breaking apart in little bits of plastic. It goes into our water.
These issues and the linen dream will be at the center of the upcoming Field to Frock event, which Schrader is organizing through Midwest Linen Revival. People can learn more about growing flax and try their hand at processing it, too. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook and Instagram. I'm Maureen McCollum.
The Field to Frock event take place in the Madison area this weekend. And finally, quick check of weather before letting you go for the day. Lots of rain in southern Wisconsin to start the day. That's expected to continue off and on throughout today. The rest of this day could see a little bit of rain later on as well, with high temperatures getting into the 70s. Rain will start to end early tonight, with things clearing up as the night goes on, and low temperatures down into the 50s and 60s. And that'll do it for this Wednesday. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Bridget Bowden and John Davis. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.